Hello out there, Bristol Bay. It's Wednesday, July 18th. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG Public Radio. I'm your host, Austin Fast. You've probably noticed we're tapering off our coverage this week so we can focus more on in-depth reporting rather than daily play-by-plays. We're slowly transitioning our fish updates back into our regular newscasts, but we do have a couple more great shows for you this year as the 2018 season wraps up. That, however, is still some time away. The Nooshiak and the East Side keep plugging away in one of the later runs in recent history, and Togiak's coming along pretty nicely as well. A researcher with the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute tells us tonight the run still got several good fishing days in it. He even thinks the total run could crack 60 million.
There's still a good number of fish that have arrived inshore, and we may get up into that territory.
And earlier in the summer, we brought you a story from Chignik Bay, where sockeye returns are so low that commercial fishermen have not been able to get out and fish for reds. Residents are even voluntarily pulling subsistence nets to get more fish upriver. The Alaska Board of Fisheries held an emergency meeting yesterday where they considered the situation.
These fish are, you know, we've heard that this is the lowest return in, you know, if not in recorded history, you know, certainly in a long time with regard to, you know, the fish returning to the Chignik systems.
Finally tonight, we'll meet a very special net hanger in Bristol Bay who pours a little extra heart and soul into each and every gill net she knots.
I write love notes on the corks, you know, like, hope your day's going good. Winners do what losers don't want to do. That fish is someone's dinner.
And those stories and more are all coming up on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
But before we get into anything else tonight, let's dig into the numbers of our daily run summary. Monday saw East Side districts continue to bring in large numbers of sockeye. Naknak Kwejak had its second biggest haul of the season on Monday with 770,000 reds. Igigik was just below 300,000, and Ugashit caught a very solid 230,000 on Monday. All three districts had huge sockeye per driftboat delivery averages on Monday. Ugashit led with nearly 1,400. Naknak Kwejak averaged 1,166, and Igigik was 1,024. In terms of catch for Monday, Nooshiak was still trucking on with 536,000 fish, and Togiak caught 22,600. Total catch bay-wide Monday was 1.85 million. In terms of escapement, a total of 905,600 reds got away up the bay's river systems. By Monday, Bristol Bay's total run figure sat at 49.2 million. Let's turn now to our latest daily run summary from Tuesday's information. Total run to Bristol Bay as of last night reached just over 51.1 million. Our preseason forecast was just below 51.3 million, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say today's the day we meet that forecast. Check back in for our new newscast on Thursday for the latest details. Area management biologist Tim Sands also points out that the total run to the Nooshiak district has pushed over the 30 million mark as of Tuesday. That means the Noosh is still widening the gap from its preseason forecast run of 21.8 million. Tuesday's catch in total across the five districts was 1.74 million sockeye. The Nooshiak picked up from Monday to haul in 615,000 fish on Tuesday. The season total red catch for the Nooshiak is at a record-breaking 21,980,000. Looking at Nooshiak's escapement, on Tuesday, 19,000 sockeye passed the Portage Creek sonar, bringing the season total to just past 1 million. The Wood River Counting Tower spotted 140,500 reds pushing up toward Aleknagik on Tuesday. Cumulative escapement there is at a record-breaking 7.2 million. The Igushik Tower saw 40,800 reds yesterday. That brings the cumulative total to 513,800. All rivers combined, Nooshiak escapement has hit a cumulative 8.7 million. As we mentioned, the total run to the Noosh is now 30,667,000, well ahead of 2018's predictions. Over in Togiak, they have started fishing again and caught 37,200 on Tuesday and 22,600 on Monday. Season cumulative for Togiak is 217,600. Out at the Togiak Tower, they saw 21,900 reds yesterday. That puts season total escapement for Togiak at 92,600. Togiak's minimum escapement goal is 120,000. It's the only district of Bristol Bay's five districts that has yet to meet that minimum escapement goal. However, area management biologist Tim Sands told me today he believes there's fish out there and that Togiak escapement will end up somewhere just past its mid-range goal. That's why he issued an order today to extend fishing in Togiak for an additional 48 hours through 9 a.m. Sunday. The regular weekly schedule then kicks in on Monday. Total run for Togiak so far is 310,300 out of its preseason forecast of 860,000. Moving east to Igigik, fishermen landed 322,000 sockeye on Tuesday. That brings the season total for Igigik to 4.2 million fish. Igigik River escapement yesterday was 21,000 sockeye. Total escapement is now 1.5 million reds. Add that up, and the total run to Igigik District so far is 5,717,000 out of a preseason forecast of 9.1 million. Next door in the Naknak-Quijak District, fishermen have been going strong since they got out of the Naknak River Special Harvest Area on Friday night. They caught 512,000 reds on Tuesday. Season total catch has grown quickly since last week to sit at 5.3 million from a preseason harvest forecast of 8.9 million. Daily escapement for Naknak-Quijak was at 532,600 on Tuesday. Looking at its three river systems, the Quijak River represents the most escapement at 325,700 for yesterday. The Quijak's cumulative escapement is now 3.5 million, erasing last week's concerns that it wouldn't even make the 2 million bottom escapement goal. The Naknak River reported 88,300 fish escaped on Tuesday, and for the Alagnak River, 118,600 escaped yesterday. Cumulative escapement for Naknak-Quijak is now 6.8 million. Total run there has leapt up since last Friday to reach 12.1 million. Naknak-Quijak's preseason run forecast was 16.6 million. Moving over to Ugashik now, they have also seen some very strong returns after taking several days off last week. Yesterday, Ugashik hauled in 253,000 fish. Season total catch there is now at 1.3 million fish. At the Ugashik Tower yesterday, the crew counted escapement of 109,000 reds. Season cumulative escapement for the Ugashik River is 875,500. In-river estimate currently is at 75,000. That all brings Ugashik's total run so far to 2.3 million out of its preseason forecast of 2.9 million. Let's step back to take in the whole bay now. Total harvest baywide on Tuesday was 1.74 million sockeye. That puts our season total harvest so far to 33 million fish. Escapement yesterday across all five districts was 885,000 for a season total just a hair below 18 million. Add in those in-river estimates of 75,000 fish, and that puts 2018's total run at 51.12 million so far this year. As we mentioned just a bit ago, the preseason forecast was 51.28 million. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say we probably got more than 160,000 fish today and have surpassed that preseason forecast run. But check back tomorrow as we'll have official numbers for you on Thursday. Changing gears now, let's take a look at your latest numbers on sockeye per driftboat deliveries across the bay. Ugashik fell back slightly to 1,137 reds per delivery on Tuesday. Igigik had 952 sockeye per delivery. In the Nushagak district, they averaged 884 fish per delivery. Naknak-Quijak was 609, and Togiak averaged 237 sockeye per driftboat delivery. Moving right along to vessel registration, here are those numbers as of 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. Per regulation, July 17th is the last day that fishermen must register with the districts, so we won't have any new information on vessel registration going forward. For Tuesday morning, Igigik had 314 permits registered on 246 vessels, 68 D boats. By Thursday morning, Igigik will lose four permits on three boats. Ugashik looks to be growing again. On Tuesday morning, it had 198 permits on 147 vessels. That meant 50 were doubled up. By Thursday, Ugashik should have 210 permits on 156 boats, adding 3 D-boats. Fishermen continue to flock to Naknek-Queejack. Tuesday morning, there were 484 permits on 453 boats, including 88 D-boats. Naknek-Queejack will add 75 permits on 55 vessels by Thursday, bumping it up to 108 total D-boats. And after a big drop over the weekend, Nooshigak registrations stayed pretty stable. Tuesday, the Noosh had 629 permits on 481 vessels, with 147 D-boats. By Thursday, Nooshigak will lose just 14 permits on 11 boats. And out west in Togiak, they've still got 39 permits on 39 boats. Those numbers are going to remain stable through Thursday. At our final vessel registration count for the year, on Tuesday, we were standing at a grand total of 1,664 permits on 1,311 vessels across all 5 districts. That includes a total of 353 D-boats. By Thursday, that pushes up to 1,733 permits on 1,361 boats, with 372 of those being doubled up. Per Fish and Game regulations, fishermen no longer have to register to their district, so we won't see updated numbers on those unless there's an emergency order. And that's your daily run summary for Wednesday, July 18th, based on tallies of Tuesday's catch and escapement. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG, back in a moment.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We are so glad you stuck with us through the numbers. By mid-July, Bristol Bay's salmon run is usually starting to taper off, but this year is proving to be an unusually late run for many districts. Curry Cunningham has been working with the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute for about a decade. Cunningham says Bristol Bay's total run has topped 60 million fish in just 3 years since the 60s. That was 1995, 1980, and 1965. In 95, the run was 56 million by July 17th, just slightly ahead of where we were yesterday. The largest run on record was 67 million in 1980. I caught up with Cunningham this afternoon to get his predictions on how much longer fishermen can expect to keep pulling in big catches. Here's part of that conversation. Do you think we could have a brand new record on our hands this year?
It's hard to know, but given that we've still saw greater than 2.5 million catch and escapement yesterday on the 17th, combined with the fact that we saw that fairly strong Port Muller Index on the 11th when they fished. There's still a good number of fish that have arrived inshore, and we may get up into that territory.
Time will surely tell, but it sounds like we're within reach.
We've set a multitude of records on the west side this year, and it remains to be seen whether or not we set a Bristol Bay-wide record.
You mentioned the Port Muller numbers. I mean, they typically end the test fishery there around July 12th, and they had bad weather there at the end, which they had to interpolate figures. How has that impacted your work in the stuff that you do?
We use the Port Muller Index in several ways. One is as an index of run size, and the other one is to update our expectations of run timing. Now, when they went back out after those 3 weather days, on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, when they fished on the 11th, we saw catches fairly close to what they had caught on July 6th and 7th, which indicated there were still strong numbers of fish passing along the Port Muller transect through the 11th. Now, this year, it looks like fish are taking between 7 and 8 days to get between the Port Muller transect and inshore. So that means that those strong numbers of fish that passed by on the 11th are arriving inshore today on the 18th and tomorrow on the 19th. So in addition to suggesting that there was still going to be strong fish arriving inshore through the 19th and likely beyond, it also shifted our perception of run timing quite a bit later. to the east side, run timing is at least 4 days late, and perhaps a bit later to some of those districts.
Now that you don't have those port molar figures coming in every day like we had for a month, is the FRI just kind of driving blind here, or what are the other sources of information that you have in forecasting for the shape of the run?
Yeah, the best source of information we have at this point in the season is catch and escapement. And so we can look at the proportion of the run that has been left to come or yet to arrive inshore after July 17th in previous years. And so when we look at the average from 1984 forward, it says that if your run is between 4 and 5 days late, you've got somewhere between 34 to 39% of your catch and escapement left to come in the Ugashit District. You've got between 10 and 13% of your catch and escapement yet to come in the Igigig District, between 15 and 19% yet to come in Naknek-Klejak, and 10 to 14% left to come in the Nushagak. And of course, Togiak being the latest arrival, you usually got between 62 and 66% if run timing is also about 4 to 5 days late.
Sounds like Ugashit has a ways to go and the others are trailing off, but how many more days do you expect that those east side fishermen are going to be actually out there making sizable catches?
Today and tomorrow, there's going to be strong catches. Beyond that, we know that it's not going to drop off extremely quickly. In very few years, you see inshore arrivals catching escapements drop off a cliff, so to speak, right at the end of the season. So we're going to have a decent tail of fish arriving inshore. From what we saw in terms of the genetics that were taken from Port Muller through July 6th and 7th, we saw an increasing proportion of fish bound for the Naknek-Klejak District. Although we don't know the composition, the genetic composition of fish after the 7th, it's a pretty good idea that we would have seen an increasing proportion of Naknek-Klejak fish in later samples had they been analyzed. And it seems like we're likely to see some decent inshore arrivals to the Nushagak for the next few days here at least.
And speaking of the Nushagak, it's been unstoppable this season. Its total run just pushed over the 30 million mark on Monday. Even an expert like Cunningham is struggling to pin down why certain age classes thrived up the Wood River this year compared to other places around Alaska that were struggling.
There are a lot of questions to be addressed. One is, we know that there are a lot of 1-2 returns in the Nushagak District, and particularly to the Wood River as a whole. Now, those fish were from the 2014 brood year. They went to sea in 2016. We usually assume that a lot of the variability in survival occurs during that first fall and winter at sea. So what happened in 2016 to 2017 is very interesting. I think the other question is what's driven such different production dynamics between Bristol Bay, and particularly the west side of Bristol Bay, versus what we've seen for sockeye stocks in the Gulf of Alaska and elsewhere around Alaska that have performed much more poorly than expected in this year.
These are open-ended questions. And, you know, when can we expect to have some analysis or some idea? I mean, I'm sure we need a lot more study and research on those things, but do you have a sense of when we can start finding answers for those questions, or will they ever be found?
That's a very good question. I can assure you that there's a lot of very intelligent people who are very interested in figuring out exactly why we've seen such variability in sockeye salmon production around the state this year.
We here at KDLG will be looking for more information to come out, and we'll keep asking these questions. I mean, I know right now it just remains to be seen, it seems like.
There's a lot of interesting hypotheses to be addressed as we move forward and try to figure out what's really driven this variation in production that we've seen across the state.
All right. Well, I think those are the primary questions I want to ask you for tonight's show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to all the hardworking catch samplers, managers at Fish and Game, and the folks at BBSRI who make the Port Muller test fishery possible.
All right, Curry. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Certainly. Always a pleasure.
And we'll have some great charts showing just how late the run is for each of the districts and more information from the Fisheries Research Institute up on our website tonight. That's kdlg.org. The Alaska Board of Fisheries declared an emergency on Tuesday for low returns of Chignik sockeye salmon. There have been no commercial sockeye salmon openers in the district because neither the early nor the late run of reds to the Chignik River appears as though it will meet its escapement goal. The early run was forecasted to be 850,000 sockeye. The bottom end of the escapement goal is 350,000 sockeye. That run usually peaks in late June. The late run forecast was 901,000 sockeye. The bottom of its escapement goal is 200,000 sockeye. So far, only 45,000 of the late run sockeye have returned. At an emergency meeting held yesterday, the Board of Fish considered three petitions to issue an emergency declaration for the low sockeye return in the Chignecks. Nick Sagalkin is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Regional Supervisor for Commercial Fisheries in the Westward Region. He explained what conservation measures have been taken so far.
There are aspects in both the Kodiak and South Alaska Peninsula management plans that are have specific ties to Chignik. They're basically allocation plans. And in general, those fisheries, by regulation, did not open. Beyond those, we exercise, so there are things that we acted on outside of those management plans in the South Alaska Peninsula area. When we decided to do those, we were looking at a few things at that point in time, or continuing escapement levels into Chignik were about the lowest we had seen, or second lowest. We also knew from past genetic studies of fish traversing through the Alaska Peninsula. During the June fishery, we restricted all of the period openings. We basically cut them in half from 88 hours to 40 hours. Could we have done more? I suppose we could have closed them altogether. We could have closed certain areas altogether. So there was more that we could have done then. As we're entering into the post-June fisheries, and this wasn't highlighted in the memo because it are developments that sort of are occurring on the fly, or in season now, as so to speak. So the post-June management plan is different than the June management plan in South Alaska Peninsula. The period fisheries are much smaller, and the closure periods between the period openings is longer. We did not restrict the first one because that was still early in the transition of the late run. When we got to the second period, the escapements were still languishing, and we opted to close the Dolgoy management area. So the period opening for the rest of the areas was the same, but we closed the Dolgoys.
The Chignecks themselves have had no commercial fishing openings targeting sockeye salmon. Some residents are so concerned about the returns, they say they are voluntarily foregoing subsistence fishing. Fish and Game's position on the petitions is that the situation does not constitute an emergency.
Current sockeye salmon escapement is not the worst on record for this state, and while escapement is not adequate to provide directed commercial salmon harvest opportunity in the Chignik management area, the sockeye salmon escapement level does not threaten the long-term sustainability of this stock, and the department does not believe the current Chignik River sockeye salmon escapement level or the harvest of some Chignik origin sockeye salmon in KMA or South Alaska Peninsula represents an emergency.
Five of the seven board members, however, voted to declare an emergency to ensure further conservation measures will be taken to protect Chignik stocks. Fritz Johnson, a Board of Fish member from Dillingham, explained his reasoning.
These fish are, you know, we've heard that this is the lowest return in, you know, if not in recorded history, you know, certainly in a long time with regard to, you know, the fish returning to the Chignik systems. This is an important resource, an important fishery for the communities that participate in it, and I think, you know, given what we're seeing in terms of escapement, that you know, we need to address this today, now, while we're here, and provide what protections we can, you know, to this, you know, to this salmon stock.
Members voted to close the subsection of the Dolgoy Islands area where Chignik-bound sockeye swim, and to extend the southeastern district salmon plan through August 8th. Both of those measures will be lifted if the interim escapement goals for Chignik sockeye are met. The emergency declaration will expire in 120 days. In November, the Board of Fisheries will convene in Dillingham to discuss commercial fishing regulations in the region. Several members expressed interest in further discussing Chignik stock protections at that meeting. Every fisherman knows a good net is crucial for a successful sockeye season. One woman has spent the better part of 50 years standing in her garage in Aleknagik, stringing up the cork and lead lines for fishermen around Bristol Bay. Unlike other net hangers, Cheryl Mershon also leaves notes of inspiration. That's to help fishermen keep their spirits up on the long days and nights pulling in sockeye. KDLG's Mitch Borden caught up with Mershon in her shop and has this story.
My name is Cheryl Mershon, and I live in Aleknagik. This is my 41st year of hanging nets in Bristol Bay. So I fished for a long time, and my people have fished for a long time, but now I just do nets. By the way, I'm hanging nets as we talk, so if my talking's a little sporadic, I'm working. Anyways, I'm doing a lead line. I'll measure with my needle and tie the knot. Now on this net, it's a small mesh, so I'm gonna pick up three webs, just picked up three webs, done my measure, tying my knot, picking up three more mesh, same thing over and over and over. I really like my customers, they're probably the highlight. I write love notes on the corks, you know, like, hope your day's going good, winners do what losers don't wanna do, that fish is someone's dinner. I think I probably started with my family and my closer friends, you know, just kind of little things that help their days be brighter. It's kind of an interesting thing to hang nets because in some ways you almost feel like you're brain dead, like your little mouse going around in one of those little cages deals. But on the other hand, you need to be totally dialed in as to what you're doing, because there's actually a science to hanging nets. Just ask somebody whose net is not hung right. It's a mess. If the net's rolled or if the lead line's shorter than the cork line and it keeps wanting to jump the cork line, and then you're not catching near the fish. I really have in mind that whatever net I hang would be a net that I'd be happy to fish. If it's not a net that I'd be happy to fish or have my husband or somebody fish, then it doesn't go out of here. One year, I don't know which year it was, but somebody that likes math said, hey, Cheryl, did you know you hung enough nets to go from your place in Aleknagik to Kanakanak Hospital and back? So I smiled and I thought, well, that's kind of impressive. But, you know, I'm 63, so I'm not 21 anymore, but I'm up and at it. It's just one knot at a time, in the right place. It's been a good life.
And the music included in that piece was called Western Tanager, written and performed by Chad Crouch. Thank you so much to fish reporter Mitch Borden over in Naknek for his work on that piece. Now, this is the part of the show where we typically have messages to the fleet, and I am so upset that we don't have any today. That's my favorite part of the show, and we are just coming up short tonight. Come on, guys. We'd love to get your message to your loved ones out on the water. Please send your note to Avery, that's A-V-E-R-Y, at kdlg.org, or give us a call at the station. Our number is 907-842-5281. We did get a couple song requests from the Togak River Counting Tower, though. An anonymous one, maybe from Kate, asked for Twirl Me by Wildlight. And Dito wants to hear Queen Bee by Taj Mahal for Perry Lee. Stick around after the show and I'll get both of those on for you.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen. Online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Now we have the answer for you to Monday's riddle. The riddle first appeared in the magazine Popular Mechanics. Let me reread it for you. A businessman, for personal reasons of his own, needs to gain access to a notorious but elusive thieves' guild. After watching the entrance for about an hour, the businessman noticed that the thieves seemed to have some sort of passcode system using numbers. When someone approached the door, they were given a number and then they replied with a number. The first person stepped up and the guard told them 12, to which they responded 6. The person was admitted. A second person approached the door and the guard told that person 6, to which they replied 3. The second person was also admitted. Convinced that he had cracked the code, the businessman approached the door to the Thieves Guild and the guard tells him 10. He confidently replies 5. The guard immediately slams the door in the businessman's face and a deadbolt slots into place. What should the businessman have said? The answer is he should have said 3, the number of letters in 10. Similarly, the word 12 has 6 letters, and 6 has 3 letters. The answers the first two thieves gave. Congratulations if you were able to puzzle that one out. Since we don't have a show tomorrow on Thursday, I now have a nice short brain teaser for Friday. Here's the problem. You have an 11-minute hourglass and a 7-minute hourglass. You need to measure exactly 15 minutes. How do you do it? I'll give you a hint. There's a couple different ways to measure out 15 minutes, but one is more efficient than the other. Can you find them both? Let me read that one more time in case you weren't listening at first. So you have an hourglass that measures 11 minutes and an hourglass that measures out 7 minutes. However, you need to measure exactly 15 minutes. How do you do it? As a hint, there's a couple different ways you can measure out 15 minutes, but one of them is more efficient than the other. As you are all fishermen, I know that you're used to counting time of openers, so I have full faith that you can puzzle this one out. That's pretty much it for tonight's show, but before we go, here's your marine weather forecast. Tonight, we're looking at a southeast wind of 10 knots, seas are at 2 feet. For Thursday, it'll be a southeast wind at 15 knots, seas rising to 3 feet. Thursday night, east wind at 20 knots, seas staying at 3 feet. And for Friday and Friday night, southeast wind at 20 knots, seas rising to 4 feet. That's all I've got for you tonight. Thank you so much to KDLG News Director Avery Lill and Fish Reporter Mitch Borden for their work on tonight's show. I'm your host, Austin Fast. If you have any stories to suggest or comments on our work, please get a hold of me at austin@kdlg.org or call us at the station at 907-842-5281. Also, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We've got great news, photos, and videos between our fish reports on those social media. In the meantime, please stay safe and good fishing out there. We'll be back with you on Friday night at 6 o'clock.